It is with tremendous pride that I introduce to you the Honorable Mayor Ross Rocky Anderson. A patriot is a person who loves his or her country. Who among you loves your country so much that you have come here today to raise your voice out of deep concern for our nation and our world? And who among you loves your country so much that you insist that our nation's leaders tell us the truth? So let's hear it. Give us the truth. Give us the truth. Give us the truth. Give us the truth. Give us the truth, because if we had the truth, we wouldn't be here today. Let no one deny that we are patriots. We support our nation's troops. Let's hear it for our nation's troops. And we have so many veterans here today. All the veterans, let's hear it from the veterans. Look at the veterans that are here today. We are grateful to our veterans who have sacrificed so much for our freedom, sacrificed so much so that we could be here today. We love our country. We hold dear the values upon which our nation was founded, and we are distressed at what our president, our administration, and our Congress are doing to and in the name of our nation. So to James Evans and these folks who financed this massive radio campaign these last few days, let them finally understand blind faith in bad leaders is not patriotism. A patriot does not tell people who are intensely concerned about their country to just sit down and be quiet, to refrain from speaking out in the name of politeness or for the sake of being a good host, or to show slavish, blind obedience and deference to a dishonest, warmongering, human rights violating president. That is not a patriot. Rather, that person is a sycophant. That person is a member of a frightening culture of obedience, a culture where falling in line with authority is more important than choosing what is right, even if it is not easy, safe, or popular. And I suspect that person is afraid. Afraid we are right. Afraid of the truth, even to the point of denying it. Afraid he or she has put in with an oppressive, inhumane regime that does not respect the laws and the traditions of our country, and that history will rank as the worst presidency our nation has ever had to endure. In response to those who believe we should blindly support this disastrous president, his administration, and the complacent, complicit Congress, listen to the words of Theodore Roosevelt, a great president, and I might remind everybody, a Republican, who said, "The president is merely the most important among a large number of public servants. He should be supported or opposed exactly to the degree which is warranted by his good conduct or bad conduct. His efficiency or inefficiency in rendering loyal, able, and disinterested service to the nation as a whole. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary that there should be full liberty to tell the truth about his acts. And this means that it is exactly necessary to blame him when he does wrong as to praise him when he does right." And President Theodore Roosevelt continued. He said, "Any other attitude in an American citizen is both base and servile. To announce that there must be no criticism of the president, listen up, Utah Republicans and James Evans, and no offense to all the good Republicans that are here with us today, but these were the words of President Theodore Roosevelt, to announce that there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public." Nothing, President Roosevelt didn't stop there. He said, "Nothing but the truth should be spoken about him or anyone else, but it is even more important to tell the truth, pleasant or unpleasant, about him than about anybody else." Those were the words of Theodore Roosevelt, a great president, who knew the true meaning of patriotism. So, we are here today as truth tellers. And we are here to demand, give us the truth! Give us the truth! Give us the truth! Give us the truth! And we are here today to insist that those who were elected to be our leaders must tell us the truth. We are here today to insist that our news media live up to its sacred responsibility to ascertain and report the truth. That our news media live up to its responsibility to ascertain and report the truth rather than acting like nothing more than a bulletin board for the lies and propaganda of a manipulative, dishonest federal government. Well, we have been getting just about everything but the truth on matters of life and death, on matters upon which our nation's reputation hinges, on matters that directly relate to our nation's most fundamental values, and on matters relating to the survival of our planet. In the process, our nation has engaged in a tragic, unnecessary war based upon categorically false justifications. More than 100,000 people have been killed, and many more have been seriously maimed, brain damaged, or rendered mentally ill. Our nation's reputation throughout much of the world has been destroyed. We have many more enemies bent on our destruction than before our invasion of Iraq, and the hatred toward us has grown to the point that it will take many years, perhaps generations, to overcome the loathing created by our unjustified illegal invasion and occupation of a Muslim nation. What incredible ineptitude and callousness for our president to talk about a crusade while lying to us to make a case for the invasion and occupation of a Muslim country. Our children and later generations will pay the price of the lies, the violence, the cruelty, the incompetence, and the inhumanity of the Bush administration and the lackey Congress that has so cowardly abrogated its responsibility and authority under our checks and balances system of government. We are here to say we will not stand for it anymore. No more lies. No more preemptive illegal war based on false information. No more God is on our side religious nonsense to justify this immoral, illegal war. And we are here to say, most fundamentally, no more humanity in the name of our nation. So let's raise our voices and demand, give us the truth to this administration, to our news media. Give us the truth. Give us the truth. Give us the truth. Give us the truth. Now, let's consider some of the most monstrous lies, lies that have led us like a nation of sheep to this tragic war. Following September 11, 2001, the world knew that Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda were responsible for the horrific attacks on our country. Our longtime allies were sympathetic and supportive, but our president transformed that support into international disdain for the United States, choosing to illegally invade and occupy Iraq rather than focus on and capture the perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks on our country. Why invade and occupy Iraq when it was bin Laden and Al-Qaeda who attacked our country and who still have never been brought to justice? Well, Vice President Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice represented to us without any qualification that there were strong ties between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. In September 2002, President Bush made the incredible and absolutely false claim that you cannot distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam. President Bush represented to Congress without any factual basis whatsoever that Iraq planned, authorized, committed, or aided the 9/11 attacks. Our president and vice president, along with an unquestioning news media, repeatedly led our nation to believe that there was a working relationship between Al-Qaeda and the Iraqi government, a relationship that threatened the United States. Even last week, when I met with Thomas Bach, the national commander of the American Legion, I asked him, why are we engaged in the war in Iraq? Why did we invade and occupy Iraq? He said, why, of course, because of the 9/11 attacks on our country. I asked, what did Iraq have to do with those attacks? He looked puzzled and said, well, the connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. I was shocked. I was stunned. Here is a man who has criticized us for opposing the war in Iraq, and he is so completely wrong about the underlying facts to justify this war. Not only has there never been any evidence of any involvement by Saddam or Iraq with the attacks on 9/11, but there has never been any evidence of any operational connection whatsoever between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. And Colin Powell finally conceded that there is, and these are his words, no concrete evidence about the connection. The chairman of the monitoring group appointed by the United Nations Security Council to track Al-Qaeda disclosed that his team had found no evidence linking Al-Qaeda to Saddam Hussein, and the top investigator for our European allies had said, if there were any such links, we would have found them, but we have found no serious connections whatsoever. President Bush, by the way, finally admitted 9 days ago, on August 21st, during a press conference, that there was no connection between the attacks on 9/11 and Iraq. Isn't it terrific that the President of the United States has now admitted what others have known for so long? But where is the accountability for the tragic war we were led into on the basis of his earlier misrepresentation? Beside the fictions of Saddam Hussein somehow being linked to 9/11 attacks and his supposed connections with Al-Qaeda, what was the principal justification for foregoing additional weapons inspections, working with our longtime allies, refraining from seeking additional resolutions from the United Nations consistently with international law, and hurrying to war, an unprecedented so-called preemptive war in which we would attack and occupy a Muslim nation that posed no security risk to the United States and caused the deaths of so many thousands of innocent men, women, and children, and the deaths and lifetime injuries to so many thousands of our own servicemen and servicewomen. Well, the principal claim was that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, biological and chemical weapons, and was seeking to build up a nuclear weapons capability. As we now know, there was nothing, no evidence whatsoever to support those false claims. President Bush represented to us and to people around the world that one of the reasons we needed to make war in Iraq and to do it right away was because Saddam Hussein was seeking to build nuclear weapons. His assertions about Saddam Hussein trying to purchase nuclear materials from an African nation and about Iraq seeking to obtain aluminum tubes for the enrichment of uranium were challenged at the time by our own intelligence agency and by our own scientists, yet President Bush failed to tell us that. 10 days. 10 days before the invasion of Iraq, it was proven that the documents upon which President Bush's claim about Saddam Hussein trying to obtain uranium was based were forgeries. That was found 10 days before we invaded Iraq. However, President Bush did not disclose that fact to the American people, and by that failure, he betrayed each and every one of us. He betrayed our country, and he betrayed the cause of world peace. Neither did the vast majority of the news media in this country disclose those forgeries until it was far too late. It took our local newspapers here in Salt Lake City 4 months until after the war was commenced and after President Bush declared that major combat in Iraq was over to report the discovery that those documents were forgeries and therefore that there was no basis for the false claims about Saddam Hussein trying to build up a nuclear capability. By its failure to promptly disclose those forgeries, our news media betrayed us as well. Had the American people known we were being lied to, had President Bush informed us that the documents were forged and that he had no other basis for his claim, had our nation's media done its job, rather than slavishly repeating to us the lies being fed to it by the Bush administration, our nation very well may not have allowed the commencement of this outrageous, tragic, illegal, unjustified war. Then National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice said that high-strength aluminum tubes acquired by Iraq were only really suited for nuclear weapons programs, warning, "We don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud." Undisclosed by President Bush or Condoleezza Rice was the fact that top nuclear scientists had informed the administration that those tubes were too narrow, too heavy, too long to be useful in developing nuclear weapons and could be used for other purposes. Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency agreed. So much for the phony claims of Saddam Hussein building nuclear weapons, which were the primary claims justifying the rush to war without working with the United Nations, without working with our longtime allies, without giving the weapons inspectors an opportunity to do their job, which if they'd had that opportunity, they would have disclosed what we know now, and that is there were no weapons of mass destruction. What were we told about chemical and biological weapons of mass destruction? These claims were as baseless and fraudulent as the claims about nuclear weapons. President Bush told us in his January 2003 State of the Union address that Hussein had the materials to produce as much as 500 tons of sarin, mustard, and VX nerve agent. Then in May of 2003, he made the outlandish statement, and it turns out to have been totally false. He told our nation, "We found the weapons of mass destruction. We found biological laboratories." Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, this is the Secretary of Defense, by the way, who assured our nation that when we went to war, this war would take maybe 6 days, maybe 6 weeks, but he doubted as long as 6 months. He told us at that time, "We know where the weapons of mass destruction are." Vice President Cheney and then Secretary of State Powell also joined in the chorus of lies and misinformation about those weapons of mass destruction. Of course, no stockpiles of biological or chemical weapons were found. Bush administration inspector David Kaye, appointed by the Bush administration, noted that Iraq did not have ongoing chemical weapons programs after 1991, a conclusion which was remarkably similar to statements made by Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice just months before the 9/11 attacks and before they sacrificed the truth in the service of promoting the Bush administration's case for war against Iraq. On February 24, 2001, less than 7 months before 9/11, Colin Powell said that Saddam Hussein, and these were his words, has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction. He is unable to project conventional power against his neighbors, said Colin Powell some 7 months before 9/11. And in July 2001, 2 months before 9/11, Condoleezza Rice said, these were her words, "We are able to keep his arms from him. His military forces have not been rebuilt," she told us 2 months before September 11th. It is astounding how they changed their claims after the president decided to make a case for the invasion and occupation of Iraq. To think that we could be lied to by so many members of the Bush administration with such impunity is frightening, chilling. Yet these imperious, arrogant, dishonest people think we should continue to just fall in line with them and take them at their word after we have been lied to time after time after time by these same people. The truth has been established. This is not a matter of opinion. This is not a matter of belief. It is the established truth. Iraq had nothing to do with the 9/11 attacks on the United States. There has been no evidence of any operational ties between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, and there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. What a tragedy, leading to greater tragedy. We are fed lie after lie. Our media reinforces those lies, and we are a nation that has been led to a tragic, illegal, unprovoked war. So, we are here today because of our values. We love our country. We cherish the freedoms and liberties of our country. And we don't call those who speak out against our nation's leaders unpatriotic or un-American or appeasers of fascists, as we heard from our incompetent Secretary of Defense yesterday. We have good, wholesome family values. In our families, we teach honesty. In our families, we teach kindness and compassion toward others. And in our families, we teach that violence, if ever justified, must be an absolutely last resort. In our families, we teach that our nation's constitutional values are to be upheld and that they are worth standing up as we are here today and fighting for. Our family values promote respect and equal rights toward everyone, regardless of race, regardless of ethnic origin, and regardless of sexual orientation. In our families, we teach the value of hard work and competence. And we are left to wonder about a president who, after receiving an intelligence memo about the threat posed by Al-Qaeda, decided to continue his month-long vacation just before the 9/11 attacks on our country. As we demand the truth from others, let us also face the truth. Our government all too often has not cared at all about the human rights of people in other nations, and it doesn't really care about democracy unless it leads to the election of those who will do our bidding. Consider the irony regarding the claims that Saddam had chemical weapons, and because of that, we needed to rush to war against Iraq. When Saddam Hussein was using chemical weapons, first against the Iranians and then against his own people, the Kurds, our country provided him with biological and chemical agents and equipment to make those weapons. Presidents Reagan and George H.W. Bush refused even to support economic sanctions, let alone going to war against him. Economic sanctions against Hussein for his use of weapons of mass destruction. What did our nation do in response to Hussein's use of chemical weapons, killing tens of thousands of people when he actually had them, and we knew that he had them? Our response was that we befriended, coddled, and rewarded him with government-guaranteed loans totaling $5 billion since 1983, freeing up currency for Hussein to modernize his military assets. Perhaps those in the United States government who aided and abetted Saddam Hussein to further U.S. business interests while he was gassing the Kurds should be sharing his courtroom dock as he is now being tried for crimes against humanity. No more lies, no more hiding of the truth. We can stand the truth. No more wars that more than triple the value of stock in Dick Cheney's prior employer, Halliburton, and which, as of last September, has increased the value of the Halliburton CEO stock, one person, their CEO, by $78 million. We are patriots. We are deeply concerned, and we demand change now. So I want to hear from you. No more. No more lies from Condoleezza Rice about whether she and President Bush were advised before 9/11 of the possibility of planes being flown into buildings by terrorists. No more! No more gross incompetence in the office of the Secretary of Defense. No more, no more torture of human beings. No more. No more disregard of the basic human rights enshrined in the Geneva Convention. No more. No more kidnapping of people and sending them off to secret prisons in nations where they will be tortured. No more unconstitutional wiretapping of Americans. No more proposed amendments to the United States Constitution that would, for the first time in our nation's history, limit fundamental rights and liberties for entire classes of people simply on the basis of sexual orientation. No more federal land giveaways to developers. No more increases in mercury emissions from old, dirty, dangerous coal-burning power plants. No more backroom deals that deprive protection for millions of acres of wild lands in our nation. No more attacks on immigrants who work so hard to build better lives in this nation. No more inaction by Congress on fixing our hypocritical and inconsistent immigration laws and practices. No more reliance on fiction rather than the science of global warming. No more manipulation of our media with false propaganda. No more disastrous cuts in funding for those most in need. No more federal cuts in community policing and local law enforcement grant programs for our cities. No more inaction on stopping the tragic genocide in the Darfur region of Sudan. No more of the Patriot Act. No more killing. No more supposedly preemptive wars. No more contempt for our longtime allies around the world. No more dependence on foreign oil. No more failure to impose increased fuel efficiency standards for automobiles manufactured in this country. No more energy policies developed in secret meetings between Dick Cheney and his energy company cronies. No more excuses for failing to aggressively cut global warming pollutant emissions. No more tragically incompetent federal responses to natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina. No more tax cuts for the wealthiest while the middle class and those who are economically disadvantaged continue to struggle more and more each year. No more reckless spending and massive tax cuts resulting in historic deficits and historic accumulated national debt. No more purchasing of elections by the wealthiest corporations and individuals in our country. No more phony, ineffective, inhumane, so-called war on drugs. No more failure to pass an increase in the minimum wage. And no more silence by the American people. If we can do this in Salt Lake City, we're going to see it throughout this entire country, and the world is going to hear us. This is a new day. We will not be silent. We will continue to raise our voices, and we will bring others with us. We will grow and grow regardless of political party, unified in our insistence upon the truth, upon peacemaking, upon more humane treatment of our brothers and sisters around the world. We will be ever cognizant of our moral responsibility to speak up in the face of wrongdoing and to work as we can for a better, safer, more just community, nation, and world. So we won't let down. We won't be quiet. We will continue to resist the lies, the deceptions, the outrages of this Bush administration and of this complacent, complicit, go-along Congress. And we will insist that peace be pursued and that as a nation we help those in need. We must break the cycle of hatred, of intolerance, of exploitation. We must pursue peace as vigorously as the Bush administration has pursued war. It is up to every single one of us to do our part. So thank you, all of you, for lending your voices today to this call for compassion, for peace, for greater humanity. And let us keep in mind the injunction of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Thank you.